Good afternoon, moon dancers. I thought I might answer my AMA questions in this way. I hope it entertains you on this rather overcast English spring afternoon. We've had a downpour of biblical proportions, and the sky kind of erupted, and blobs of huge, angry vengeance just descended and splattered all over the pavement. Yeah. Welcome to an English spring. So, to begin then, Daleed, I believe that's how you pronounce your name. I may be wrong. Please correct me if I am. Asks how long it would take to produce a 10-minute audio. Well, how long is a piece of string? Seriously, 10 minutes. You wouldn't think it would take that long, but my process for producing audios. The first thing I do is I read the script at least once to get a feel of it, read any notes from the author as to where they would like it to go, what direction they want, what feel they want. I have to collate any sound effects, so I go online and try and find the right ones. That can take a time in itself. I record the audio. I download the sound effects. I edit the audio, listening through the whole thing. I've learned from previous experience, if you only just take little bits and pieces of it, there are things that you forget and you will make mistakes. So you have to listen through it all the way through. I suppose then, giving an actual time, a 10-minute audio would take an hour at least. So, considering that I quite frequently do audios of 30 minutes plus, yeah, you're looking at 3 hours a day to produce a really good audio. It's at least something I'm happy with. I don't like putting out inferior quality. I like my listeners to get something which is at least as professional quality as I can make it. Don't get me started on collaborations. When you're working with multiple voices, it can take days. And I've done a lot of collaborations, so believe me, they're not something to take on lightly. Miss Naughty asks, what is the sexiest piece of lingerie that a playmate has ever worn for me? Oh, so much. I have an almighty lingerie fetish. There is just something about a woman dressed in sexy lingerie, like a present ready to be unwrapped. The feel of silk, satin, lace, just feast for the senses. The sexiest piece. Well, a playmate of mine once wore a black corset trimmed with red ribbons and teamed up with black seamed stockings. Oh, that was gorgeous. It didn't stay on for long, but the effect was absolutely startling. I couldn't keep my hands off her. Well, I hope that answers your question. Mirithwin asks, what's in my discarded audios bin? And are there any audios that I would think would do better the second time around? That's a re-recording of them. Well, what's in my discarded audios bin? Usually some very bad songs. I went through a stage of trying to record songs. I make up for enthusiasm what I lack in raw talent there. Some of them were terrible. There are a few improvisations. My background is in performing arts, and I should be better at improvisation than I am. But I find that I really have to be in the mood to improvise. Yes, I can do it, and when I have done improvisations, they seem to be very well received, but I am a perfectionist, which is why I don't improv much. For the dozen or so improvisations I've done, there are probably about a couple of hundred that haven't seen the light of day that I didn't think were good enough. So that's what's hanging around in my bin. Lots of improvisations that I didn't think people would actually enjoy very much. Along with, I can't do M-sub audios. I was asked once for an experiment to do a poem. It was a beautiful piece of writing, very expressive, about an M-sub expressing his need, his desire for his mistress. I tried. I really tried to get into character for this, but it just did not work. It sounded so false. That also went straight into the discarded audios bin. As for, are there any audios that I would do again? Funnily enough, about a year ago, I did something I called Moondance Rewound, where I revisited 10 of my earliest audios, which were brilliant scripts, fantastic pieces of writing. But at the time, my production skills, my performance skills were not what they are now, and I don't think I did them justice. A very cranky setup, you know, no knowledge of how to use Audacity, very bad microphone setting. I sounded angry. I thought I was being passionate, but I just sounded angry when I was recording them. And I got my followers to vote on which one they thought I should redo. That ended up in a tie, believe it or not, so I ended up doing two audios. You've actually given me an idea. I will do that again. I will set up another Moondance Rewound then. There are some wonderful scripts out there. And I've always thought part of the sadness of GWA is that scripts disappear quite quickly. There are some wonderful pieces of writing out there on the shelves that deserve to see the light of day again, but they're ignored by performers. It's always the shiny new scripts that everyone goes for. I wish that performers would look a little bit more in depth at what's there, what's still there to record. Penguin Fight Club, that's a brilliant username, by the way, ask what naughty fantasy haven't I experienced and what would I like to? And if I get another tattoo, what would it be? Well, the tattoo answer, first of all, then, I think this is one I have already answered. My next tattoo is already planned. It will again be in elven script, and it will be a quote from one of my favourite novels. If you can name that novel, I will give you several million brownie points. Not all those who wander are lost. I think it fits in well with my plans to travel the world. I will have it underneath the first one, a second ring around my left bicep, and then I will genuinely be the Lord of the Rings. Yes, I am a colossal nerd. So what naughty fantasy haven't I yet experienced? Well, this is going to sound like boasting, but in all honesty, there genuinely isn't much that I haven't tried at least once. I do have the fantasy of a reverse gangbang. Being the master of a harem and having a selection of beautiful women to choose from all over the world, different shapes and sizes, different textures and flavors. like a child in a sweet shop. So many opportunities. So, yeah, I suppose that would be the fantasy that I'm never going to get the opportunity for something like that. But fantasy is wonderful, isn't it? Because we can do anything we want to. The master of a harem, then. All the pleasures of the women of the world laid before me, ready to sample. And moving on. What is my most embarrassing sexual experience? Asks Anne Jensen. I believe that's how you pronounce your name. Do I still look back at it and laugh today? This is one that I have, I think, already answered on a previous AMA, but I'll repeat it because it's worth it. I won't tell you exactly how old I was, but I was at that stage where every adolescent boy gets an instant hard-on if a girl so much as looks at him, let alone if a girl talks to you at that stage. That is masturbation fodder for the next week. I was walking around in an almost permanent state of arousal at that time, and it wouldn't take much to get me going. So when I saw a pair of my sister's stockings in the laundry basket, well, you can see where this is going, can't you? Yes, I did. Several times. And I was absolutely racked with guilt and fear at, what do I do now? You know, she's going to find out. Could I just replace them? No, she'll know. Should I wash them? Well, that'd be too obvious as well. So in the end, I took them for a walk and lost them in the local woods, vowing never under any circumstances would I ever do anything like that again. I think my resolve lasted less than a week. It was just something about the feel of the nylon against my cock. It was just electric. One of the most stunning orgasms I can ever remember, even to this day. Probably explains my penchant for lingerie. Anyway, things were fine for about 3 weeks, and then I came home from school one day and discovered a package on my bed. It was a pair of stockings and a note. The note said, "These are for you. Stop stealing mine." I couldn't look her in the eyes. I think it was about 4 or 5 weeks before I finally plucked up the courage again. You know, no words were spoken, but it was kind of like, oh dear, you know. My older sister was brilliant, very pedantic, very straightforward when it came to sex. My mother and father, oh no, the word never existed. You know, no, this doesn't, we cannot mention this word in the house. My sister gave me all of my sexual knowledge. She was the one who had the talk with me, you know, the talk. Now, I don't want you getting a girl pregnant. This is what you need to know. And she sat me down and I listened, and I remember going redder and redder. And at the end she said, "Now, are there any questions?" And I remember saying, "Yes, can I go now?" I actually owe my sister a great deal. She was a marvelous person. I got on extremely well with her. And as I say, her matter-of-factness, down-to-earth attitude, I think, really served me well. It stopped me from being... It gave me the confidence to go on in later life and experience relationships to the full. Anyway, moving on to the next question. Veladrissa asks, what do I enjoy doing to a submissive more, edging or overstimulation? I identify in real life as dominant. And DS relationships are complex. Every DS relationship defines its own parameters. I suppose it depends on the mood that I'm in and the mood that my submissive is in. Some submissives enjoy edging. I know of someone whose current record for edging, she's on 3 months at the moment. Good luck to her, she's going to need it. And some thrive on overstimulation, coming again and again and again. This either can be used as pleasure or either can be used as punishment. What do I personally enjoy? I enjoy the desperation on a submissive's face, that look in her eyes, whether she is being edged or overstimulated, knowing that she is on the verge of collapse, and yet she's doing this for me. That is what I enjoy most of all. Night Owl asks, would I be willing to, or have I already done an audio as the vampire Lestat? Not as Lestat, but I have done an audio where I played Louis, a collaboration where someone else was Lestat. I can put the link down here if anyone is interested. If anybody wants to write a script where I can play Lestat, then I will do an audio as Lestat. Next question. What is something that I would advise everyone to try, says Silently Browsing, being in self-isolation? A hobby that I would invite everyone to try. Well, I picked up a couple of tarot decks from New Orleans, and I'm reading through the books at the moment. It's fascinating. Whatever your belief, whatever your personal perspectives, I think tarot is a way of telling a story. At least that's the impression that I'm picking up. Now, I may be wrong, and there may be people out there who know tarot decks better than I do, but my impression of the way that it works is that when you deal the cards, you're using them as stepping stones, markers to be able to tell a story, and that the person you're doing the reading for fills in the missing blanks from their own experience. It's a two-way communication. Certainly some of the decks that I've found out there are beautiful pieces of artwork in their own right. And it is fascinating. I enjoy knowledge for the sake of knowledge. And I think if we're in lockdown for the next, well, the foreseeable future, everyone ought to take this opportunity to learn a new skill. Could be playing the ukulele. I've got a ukulele packed up in the cupboard somewhere. I should get that out and start strumming away. It could be developing your physicality, yoga, weight training. I'm currently doing a set of home weight training exercises to develop my manly torso even more so. It could be learning a skill. There are some marvelous opportunities on the internet to learn new skills. Whatever it is, keep your mind and your body active. Don't get into a rut. You know, give yourself a goal, something new to learn every day. Next question from Nide Palette. I'm sorry, I can't pronounce your username. I'm getting it wrong. Please correct me. What was my first sexual experience like, and at what stage in your life did it occur? What got me into BDSM? What is the most interesting thing that happened in your life? Hang on, there are three questions here. So the first one, my first sexual experience. Are we talking my first loss of virginity, or are we talking sexual experience? I've already told you the story of the stockings. That would count as a sexual experience. I could tell you the story. No, I won't tell you that one. I lost my virginity when I was 17. To be honest, it was nothing to write home about. It was pretty vanilla, actually. We lay in bed together. I was still wearing my trousers. It involved a lot of fumbling, a great deal of kissing, a lot of hot, sweaty. I remember looking into her eyes, and she came. She came on my hand, and she nuzzled into my neck, and she moaned, and I just gushed for her. It was sweet, and it was short, and I just lay there with her curled up against me, her hand on my chest, listening to the sound of her breathing. Changed man. Even after all this time, I still remember that. Sometimes sex doesn't have to be fireworks in order to have a profound effect on you. What got me into BDSM? A friend of mine, an American friend of mine. If you had asked me a few years ago whether or not I was a dominant, I would have said, what? I had no idea. When I first started recording on BDSM, one of my very first friends that I made on GWA was a submissive. And after a couple of weeks of our conversations back and forth, she said to me one day, she said, you're a dominant, aren't you? I said, what do you mean by that? And she went on to explain what she meant by that. Being a submissive herself, she said her sub-radar was going off left, right and centre. things I said, the way that I acted. And she gave me some advice. She recommended a few books for me to read. And as I read these, I thought to myself of things that had happened in my life, my relationships, things that I'd done, the ways that I behaved, and I thought to myself, she is absolutely right. I am. And I had no idea. So I started doing research. I met people online and in real life. I went to munches, went to play parties, things like that, and discovered things about myself that I never knew, things that I enjoyed doing that would appear strange, perverted to some people, but I am pervert and proud. I suppose there was always that in my personality. I just needed someone to bring it out. What is the most interesting thing that's happened to me in my life? How can you answer a question like that? The most interesting thing that's happened to me in my life. If we're talking about interesting being something that sparks your imagination, that engages you, that wants you to find out more, the most interesting thing that happened to me was becoming a parent. I have two daughters, and I hope that I have raised them to become tolerant, understanding, compassionate human beings. Every day with them when they were growing up was amazing. Something that I will never ever forget. And certainly the most interesting thing that ever happened to me. And Lulu answers, how in God's name do you sound so natural doing your audios? It takes practice sounding natural. No, I think I have already mentioned that when I first started recording, and all you've got to do is listen to some of my original recordings, I sounded really angry. I thought, you know, to be sexy, you've got to sound angry. You've got to be dominant. Yeah. No, all you have to do is just sit back and relax and imagine that the woman of your dreams is in front of you and talk to them. Somewhere out there on the other end of this audio, your listener is relaxing. She's ready for you. She's willing. And she wants to feel good. She wants so, so much for you to transport her to a different world. Away from the cares of her daily life, from the frustrations, from all those niggling, busy little bees in her brain. She wants you to help her just for a few minutes to forget about everything. To make her feel good. And that is what I attempt to do. I remember my listener out there. And I make her feel good. I hope that has answered all of your questions. Thank you very much for entertaining me on this dull, overcast Sunday afternoon. And if you have any more questions, please feel free. I'm always very keen to hear from my listeners. You have a wonderful day. And remember, it's always a marvelous night for a moon dance.